Over the summer, I spent a good chunk of it with an interesting man named David Minson. And while I was there, I was assigned a topic to build some sermons over certain parables that Jesus taught throughout his life here on earth. And so tonight, I want to talk about the parable of the sower and the soil. We can read about this in Luke chapter 8. So if you would, please turn to Luke chapter 8. We'll read verses 5 through 8 and verses 11 through 15. Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 8 and verses 11 through 15. Jesus says, "A parable went out to sow his, or a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now in verse 11, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." So what I want to talk about today in this parable, I want to talk about comparisons that Jesus made in this parable, and I want to talk about what this parable meant to his audience and how we can apply that parable to us today. So Jesus compares the seed to the word of God. Jesus compared the wayside soil to those who hear the word, but Satan snatches the word out of their hearts. We read that the rocky soil are those who hear the word with joy when they receive it, and they believe, but in time of temptation, they fall away. Jesus said that the thorny ground are those that hear, but the cares and riches of this life choke the word out of their hearts. And he said that the good ground are those that hear with an honest and good heart, and they receive the word with joy and believe, and they are very fruitful. And so what did this mean to his audience at this time? Well, it just simply meant that different people would react differently to the gospel. Some would hear and not want any part of it. Some would hear, but they wouldn't be able to follow up. Some would believe, but because of riches of this life, they would decline. And some would hear and believe and become very fruitful in the church. And so how can we apply this to us today? Well, we can apply it, you know, just like the people of his audience applied it to themselves. You know, different people are going to react differently to the gospel if we teach them. And, you know, there may be different reasons. And so I want to talk about each of these different soils and what the Bible has to say about them. First, we'll look at the wayside soil. As we read in the parable, Jesus says that those are ones who don't want to understand. And in Matthew's version, which you can read in Matthew chapter 13, there specifically in verse 19, he talked about the wayside soil and he said that they didn't want to understand. Well, the Greek word for understand meant that they didn't want to consider the word of God. They didn't want to consider to be wise, but instead, they have evil in their hearts. I want to look at a biblical example of someone who had the wayside soil in their heart. If you would, please turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 28. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 28. Verse 28 says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Also Acts chapter 24 and verse number 25. Acts chapter 24 and verse number 25 said, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" And so here we read about these two men named Agrippa and Felix. And Paul came to them and he preached the word. He preached Jesus to them. Well, it seemed like things were going pretty good for Paul on both occasions. It seemed like he had them going towards obeying the gospel and becoming Christians. But it seemed like, you know, out of nowhere, they just didn't want to do it. You know, Felix told Paul it wasn't convenient. And Agrippa said, "You almost persuaded me. You almost got me to become a Christian." And I want to ask the question, are you one who has almost decided to become a Christian? Well, you need to make that decision, because we can read in the Bible about what it says about a wayside soil person, and it's not very good. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 1 through 2 says, "Through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." So here we read that one who doesn't want to understand the word of God is a fool. The Bible calls him a fool. They want to do what their heart wants to do. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, Jesus speaking says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." So here we read, Jesus says, those who love the darkness or pleasures of this life, they love their sin and they hate the light, and that they won't come to the light. No, it makes you wonder if Agrippa and Paul, or not Paul, but Agrippa and Felix, had evil things in their heart that they didn't want to let go of because they rejected the gospel and they wanted to hold on to those pleasures of sin. And Satan uses this love for the pleasures of sin to take people out of the notion of obeying the gospel. He uses that so they won't obey. And lastly, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul writes that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. No, just simple. Paul said those who reject the word will be damned. And the wayside ground has pleasures in unrighteousness. And this love for darkness makes them reject the truth. These three scriptures connect well with the wayside soily person, because it talks about how they don't want to understand and they love the darkness and they hate the light and they don't want to come to the light because they'll know they got to change their ways and they love those pleasures of sin too much to change. What about the rocky soil? As we read, the rocky soil are those who hear the word with joy, but in time of temptation they fall away and they're not able to follow through. If you would, please turn to Acts chapter 8. We'll read verses 18 through 21. Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 21. I want to read about a man named Simon. Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 21. Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 21 says, "And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.' But Peter said unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God.'" So what happened here? We read about this man named Simon, and he obeyed the gospel. He heard the word and obeyed. Well, he later saw the apostles laying on their hands of the people there, and they were performing miracles, and Simon thought, you know, I want a part of that. You know, that'd be pretty neat. Well, he goes and he offers the apostles money, and they told him his heart wasn't right because he thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. And they rebuked him and said, "You need to ask for forgiveness because your heart's not right in the sight of God." So that's what I think is a good biblical example of a person who might have had rocky soil in their hearts. We can read throughout the Bible about this kind of thing, and one of the things we need to do if we have rocky soil in our hearts is abide in Jesus. That's what it says in John chapter 15 and verse 6. Jesus says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." And so here we read that Jesus says those who don't abide in him, that they're cast off like a branch. No, they're thrown away. They're thrown out. And that's what will happen to us if we don't abide in Jesus. And we have that rocky soil in our heart, and we fall for temptations time and time again. No, we need to pray about that. We need to abide in Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 22 says, "But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb that the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Here I think is a perfect description of someone who has rocky soil in their heart. Now Peter writes about the dogs who turn to their own vomit again. No, they vomit or whatever and they lick it back up. And he talks about the pig who is cleaned and he just goes right back and rolls around in the mud. You know, that's not necessarily a sight that we all want to witness or see. But if you think about it, you know, that's how God looks on us. He thinks it's disgusting when we come to him and we believe and we obey him and we try to obey him. But then it seems like the second we walk out, you know, we disobey him. And God thinks that's disgusting. And, you know, as Christians, we can't afford to do this. You know, we can't just turn around and go commit sin whenever and wherever we want to. We have to abide in Jesus so that we won't have rocky soil in our hearts. Next, I want to talk about the thorny ground. And as we read, the thorny ground are those who hear the word, and the cares and pleasures and riches of this world choke the word out of their hearts. Now I want to read another biblical example of someone who had thorny ground in their hearts, and we can read about it in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 17. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 17. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 17. Jesus says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." So here we read about this church at Laodicea. And you can read about the different churches here in the book of Revelations, you know, especially in chapter 3. And here Jesus talks to this church, or he's telling John to write these things to them. And if you look back a couple verses at least, it talks about how they're lukewarm Christians. They're neither hot nor cold. Jesus says that he spews them out of his mouth. You know, and these people had so many things. They had so much possessions, and you know, with having all these things, they said, "No, we don't need anything else." But really, Jesus told them they don't know that they're wretched and poor and blind and naked in the spirit. No, they have so many earthly possessions, they forgot what's really important and what they really needed to seek after. No, it's easy to do that today. No, we live in this country where we can have a lot of good stuff. And it's easy, you know. I wouldn't mind having a pretty nice car to drive around, or having a nice house, or having a boat. But if I worry about that more than I worry about my soul, then, you know, it will put me in a dangerous situation where I could lose my soul. So we need to focus, as Christians, we need to focus on the big goal, and that's to focus on God and Jesus every day. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 13, Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." Here, Jesus said plainly, you can only serve one master. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve man. And so we have to make sure as Christians, we need to choose Jesus every time. You know, we need to focus on Him. Also, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God will abide forever." And so, here John writes that those who love the world, those who love the things of this world, they don't have the love of God in them. They're too worried about what they can get in this life. And it says that the world will pass away. Now, sooner or later, the world will be destroyed, and it won't matter what we have at that point. What we need to have, who we need to have, is Jesus in our lives. And that's the only thing that's going to matter after this life, is if we have Jesus or not. Lastly, I want to talk about the good ground. And the good ground, as we've read, are those who receive the word with an honest and good heart. And when they hear, they obey, and they become very fruitful. And as Christians, hopefully each of you and I, we all have good ground in our heart, but we need to check it from time to time. Now, we need to be honest with ourselves, and we need to keep rocks and thorns out of our heart, because it's easy for those things to get in. And one way that we can prevent ourselves from getting all this sin in our life is to study the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we need to study so that we know what's right and wrong, and we know what we need to do. Now I want to look at how Jesus prevented himself from yielding to sin while he was here on this life. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4 says, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So here we read about Jesus who was being tempted by Satan himself. Jesus was out in the wilderness for 40 days and he had nothing to eat or drink. And so, if any one of us were lost for that long, it'd be pretty easy for us to say, yeah, like, I want some food right now, and I'm thirsty. But Satan came to him and tempted him and said, "No, make these stones bread." But what did Jesus say? It said he answered, "It is written." Now, Jesus referred to scriptures when he was tempted. And we need to do the same. We need to think, you know, what does the scripture say about this sin? This is a good example that Jesus taught us. So think of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. You know, if you're wondering why you keep falling for temptations, and maybe you need to think about what God's word says about that sin. Matthew chapter 26, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 42. Matthew chapter 26, verses number 36 through 42. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 through 42. Says, "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and his two sons, and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And went a little farther, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, Except I drink it, thy will be done. So here we read Jesus before he becomes crucified. Before he becomes crucified, he went and prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did he tell his disciples to do after they fell asleep? You know, he asked them, could you not watch with me an hour? He told them to watch and pray so that they wouldn't enter into temptation. You know, sometimes I think we forget that when Jesus was here on earth, he had human flesh in him, you know, just like we have. We each have flesh. And what did he say about it? He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus had to pray about this. No, he had to pray and pray that he would do his Father's will and not himself. And so we need to do the same. We need to pray when we're having trouble in our lives. And we need to think about what the scripture says about that sin, and we need to pray about it. Now, Jesus used those two things, and he was able to live a spotless, clean, sinless life. And so we need to do the same. And these aren't the only ways to, you know, get out of temptations, but they're very effective. You know, Jesus used them and it worked. And so it can work with us if we use it. So we should understand as Christians that we will get mixed results if we spread the word like we should. You know, people are going to tell us no because of their love of darkness. You know, they don't want to let go of their pleasures, their sin. They may tell us no because they say it's too hard. No, they can't stop sinning and they can't stay away from this temptation. Or they'll tell us no because they don't want to give up all that they have in this world. No, they want to have all this stuff, but no, they got to put God first and they don't want to. But if we spread the word like we should, we're going to hit good ground. No, there's good hearts out there and we need to look for them. And when we hit that good ground, we need to worship and give thanks to God for his glory and word and his power that he has to change lives. And so as we close, I want to ask you, you know, which ground are you? Now, do you feel like that? No, you've heard the word before, but you didn't want to listen. You didn't want to understand. Did you feel like you heard the word, but you've had too much trouble with past sin and you can't let go of it? Or have you heard the word, but had too many nice things that you didn't want to give up and you didn't want to make God first in your life? And there's an invitation for that. If you've heard the word and you believe in Jesus and you've repented of your sins and you confess his name before men and you're baptized, then you can have those sins removed from your life and you can rise again a new person, a new creature, and you can be a follower of Jesus and put those things behind.